All right, ladies. Up.
This is Jason Albert, and you are listening to Nordic Nation from Faster Skier. Okay, this is another quick turnaround edition of the podcast. Here's some basic information to catch you up to speed on the topic that'll be discussed in this episode, but it might help to read the accompanying story on the Faster Skier site. Bullet point one. Since the IOC decision to ban the Russian delegation from the upcoming Olympic Games, the International Biathlon Union, or IBU, has demoted the Russian Biathlon Union to second-tier or provisional status. Bullet point two. The IBU, as recently as last Sunday, has decided to not move the upcoming IBU Cup and IBU World Cup events scheduled to be held in Russia this March. Bullet point three. Murray Wiley, the president of Biathlon Canada, wrote an open letter to the IBU leadership on December 8th stating Canada would not be sending athletes to the Russian IBU races. You'll hear about the reasons for Biathlon Canada's stance in the podcast. Okay, Faster Skier reached Wiley on December 13th, and here's our conversation. Well, can you just describe for people that may not be aware, and I'll make them aware in the story, that you have been the signee on an open letter to the IBU. And can you sort of outline what's in the letter and why you were compelled to send it?
Okay, this is actually the third letter. The first letter was the first part of last January, and then there was a second follow-up letter in May. And this is the third one. I think the importance of this one was it was after the announcement by the International Olympic Committee and their stance on the systemic doping with Russia, and we were very pleased to see that. And then basically it was an opportunity. We knew that there was an executive board meeting in Hochfilzen, so, and that's typically the vehicle for us to voice our concerns, or it was timely because we knew that they were addressing the concerns with respect to, or the actions that they deem necessary based upon the IOC decision. So it was basically just a follow-up and a repeated plea that we've put forward on this the third time for what we've asked in the letter. And I also attended along with our general manager the extraordinary Congress meeting last year, which coincided with the World Championships in Hochfilzen. And so that was another. So it's really the fourth time that we've put forward our stance on what we would like to see to curb the doping issue that's upon many sports, but in particular to really rebuild the integrity of our own sport to ensure that we can do everything possible to avoid a recurrence that we've witnessed. So that's essentially that in a nutshell.
Okay, and just to kind of parse out the two bullet points in the letter, one, I obviously have seen this probably many, many times, but that the events, the IBU events, the high level IBU events in Russia are, they're inconsistent with the IOC decision of the 5th of December to disallow participation by the Russian team in the Pyeongchang Olympics. And the second bullet point was the integrity of anti-doping procedures in Russia is still very much uncertain, given the current situation in which RUSADA remains non-compliant with WADA. I think the first part is pretty self-explanatory. And I think for people who like really follow this stuff, the second bullet point is as well. But if you can just talk a little bit more about that second bullet point and what you and the people you speak for might have hesitations about in terms of RUSADA.
Yeah, this is sort of a repeat of our stance that we issued in May with respect to the selection, if you will, of the World Championships in Tumen in 2021 that we withdrew that, or the executive board at the Extraordinary Congress withdrew that, and it was based upon some questions that were asked of the World Anti-Doping Agency, and basically it had to do with the World Championships. And this situation is a bit related to the IOC, but we have a nation whose anti-doping organization is non-compliant, WADA code non-compliant in the Russian Anti-Doping Agency. So our pitch has been Biathlon Canada, Canadian Federation, is that if you're not compliant, WADA not compliant, then you should be not hosting any IBU events, major IBU events. And there's the World Cups and their IBU Cups. And that's something within the purview of the International Federation. So we've voiced that quite strongly, and that's essentially what we're saying. Even though they have an alternate agency, I believe I understand it's the UK Anti-Doping Agency, is actually contracted to do that. We have a nation that has a non-compliant anti-doping agency. So why, if one of our objectives, the IBU objectives, is to foster and promote a doping-free sport, it's sort of non-congruent that you would actually hold or allow them to host IBU events, and they have a non-compliant anti-doping organization that still, you know, once they become, and it's not, we're, it happens to be directed in this case to Russia, but we've actually said any national federation that is non-WADA code compliant should not be allowed to host any IBU events. Simple as that. And I've been quite strong on putting that forward, but obviously it's and that's basically the essence of the letter, because we knew there's still some other things that are being done by the working group that was stood up at the extraordinary Congress. We know there's still some activity, and I was quite pleased to see the fact that the executive board actually downgraded the Russian Federation's member status to provisional. But even in the provisional, they're still allowed to hold the events, and then in the next article of the Constitution, they're supposed to be honoring and promoting the objectives of the IBU. Well, one of the objectives is a doping-free sport. So it just doesn't wash in our minds. That's essentially what it is.
Are you able to go on record and speak a little bit about what some of the other actions that people discussed at the Congress this past weekend?
The other items are ones that are actually the working groups working on. So I would prefer to leave that with the International Federation to the IBU to actually speak to those. The Athlete Commission is involved in that. And there's still some significant work to do. We've made some progress, and we're happy with some of the progress we've made, but we haven't made, I don't believe, that we've made sufficient progress that we've addressed, the core issues and what we can do as an international federation. So that's essentially what we're putting forward. We could do more, and we believe they should be doing more. And hence, that's why we've said we're worried. The biggest thing is we're worried about the integrity of the sport and the fact that we are putting our athletes in a situation and our teams in a situation where, it's conceivable that their samples could be tampered with. And then all of a sudden you're into a whole different kettle of fish where you've got a clean nation, and we pride ourselves as being that. And if someone is in Canada is caught doping, then we suffer the consequences, and we've done that in other sports in Canada. So we understand that, but you don't you've got to do as much as you can within your national organizations, within your own organizations, and we're governed in this instance by the International Federation, so they can do a lot more, and we believe they should be doing a lot more.
Okay, so that's in my notes. I was like, okay, maybe, you know, just sort of reading between the lines from your letter was, well, I wonder if there's thoughts that maybe Canadian samples can be tampered with. So that clearly was in the back of your mind.
I mean, there is a risk. I mean, right. There's a right. risk. There's a risk in obviously in any nation, but in this case where you have systemic, you know, it's proven that we're systemic. What's the word I'm looking for? Systemic tampering with samples. Then, you know, you've got to say, you know, the integrity of that doping system, anti-doping system, is still in question. They're still not water compliant. And even though they've contracted it out to another agency, it's not necessarily the agency in particular. It's all the associated mechanisms around that agency that are still suspect. And they haven't, you know, the Federation has not, we haven't got our trust back in their organization that, you know, we in fact can trust that things are going to be done and we're not going to have a repeat of what happened in Sochi. And that's essentially where it comes from. I mean, you know, obviously any place you can have tampering, but when you've got all the dominoes that have fallen out of the reports out of Sochi, you've got to wonder. And the IOC has made significant step for the Winter Olympics. And I think our federation can do more. I suspect they will be doing more, but we don't think that the provisional is fine. But I mean, they could have taken. We asked last May before they came out with the schedule to actually take the events away from Russia because of the circumstance and the situation, and they haven't done that. So basically, we just basically said, okay, we won't send any athletes or any teams to the events that are scheduled for in the rest of this. And there's three of them. There's two IBU cups and there's a World Cup. So
try and keep it all straight, but. Just as I recall, the last on the cross country World Cup, the final weekend was supposed to be in Russia. And I believe it was after World Champs, but I don't have my timing right in front of me. It was actually moved to Quebec. And that was
They reassigned it. That's correct.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what we asked for.
Right. And so that was a FIS decision. And I'm curious, you know, why. You know, what is your understanding of why the IBU would act in a way that they would not move events out of Russia when it's fairly clear in sort of analogous federations like FIS, they are taking that stance?
We don't know. We don't know the reasoning behind it. We think we put a pretty solid case in the fact that there's a precedent been set. There was another sport that did the same thing. I forget what another winter sport that did it last year as well. I just think it's within the bailiwick of the International Federation, and there are other venues that are quite capable of hosting IBU Cups and World Cups. I mean, we're talking three events, and in fact, last year, the Russian Federation turned back events. So they didn't host them. So they were reassigned. So why that wasn't done before the, and we said even last year, I mean, it's a bit, we're almost, as we said in the letter, we're almost in the same juncture in many respects as to where we were a year ago. And yet the International Federation has a lot more information and can make a more informed decision and actually satisfy many of the federations. And I mean, I'm speaking on behalf of Canada, so, but I know last year we had support from other federations, and I suspect that what we will generate, what our letter has generated, and the reason why the letter is, we only released it to the other federations I released it very early this morning, because what we had done in the past is we'd written a letter to the International Federation, to the President and the Secretary General, but we sent a copy of it to all the federations. And for whatever reason, I didn't do that this time. For the last two letters, we did that, and I had some questions from one of the other national federation saying, so where are we with this? And they're a very vocal on basically similar pitches and similar concerns. And basically all I'm trying to do is I'm trying to level the playing field and ensure that we are providing a fair playing field for our athletes and a safe and dope-free environment for our athletes. That's all we've ever asked for, and I don't think that's asking too much. I think that's the least we can do for our athletes. So,
while you were crafting the letter in discussion, internal discussions within Biathlon Canada, were you talking to other teams or other federations before you sent the letter? And, I guess I'm just curious about whether or not this was something where you felt like Canada had to take a unilateral leadership step here.
No, we hadn't. And I think had we copied the letter, because we sent the letter the 8th of December before the week leading up to the executive board meeting. Had that letter been in the hands of the national federations, what the activity that it's generated today would have been in Hochfilzen as opposed to in France. And I mean, we're a pretty collegial group. Most of us are in it for the right reason. And, there are some exceptions to that, and you have to deal with those exceptions and make sure that the stand that you take is the right one. And we believe it is the right, and whether or not what we do will influence other federations, my gut feeling, and this is only a gut feeling, is I think it will. It's the end of the season. It's the last World Cup, and it's after the Olympics. Once again, after the IOC has made a quite a bold decision. I mean, I think it was the right decision to make, but it's still pretty bold for the IOC to make that. So, and it's sent some pretty strong messages to those federations and those countries that want to, tamper with a clean sport or with clean sports.
So, the article that I had, looked at through Google Translate this morning had the, and I'm sure I will butcher his name, Anders Besseberg, who is the head of the IBU.
He's the president, yes, he's the president.
He had a comment in that article that, this is coming through Google Translate, but sort of like a little bit of a shrug, and it's a non-issue. I guess if you've spoken to him directly, what type of response have you gotten? And if not, I'm not sure if you've read any responses from him through the media.
Well, we got the response letter saying, you've seen what we've done. We've downgraded their membership to provisional, the Russian Federation to a provisional member. But it hasn't addressed what we said. Why don't you take the events away? I'm not going to paraphrase it, but we voiced it. I voiced it both in writing and at the extraordinary Congress, and said, we can do something here. Why don't we do it? And obviously, he sees otherwise. And I don't think he has more. He does have more information than we have, but at the end of the day, it comes down to this is assigning the events has a significant event, a significant impact on the teams. So if there's any doubt as to the integrity or on the trust issue, and how confident we are that there isn't going to be any further tampering, then, you know, if you start questioning that, then, you know, why, you know, the International Federation can make that, you know, there's lots of World Cup venues that we could be using. And, you know, we put our name in for, there were two events last year that were, had been assigned to Russia that were reassigned. Canmore, we put our name for, but obviously the distance is a factor. But they had, from the spring of last year until, I mean, we knew where the events were going to be. They knew this issue was on the table, the International Federation. And we just, you know, basically, we put it back on, you know, we underscored it again, sort of by, here, you're going to make a decision on the Olympics. You're going to make a decision on where we are with respect, where the International Federation is with respect to those cases that they're dealing with. But you're also dealing with the event, the three items that the working group were tasked to come up with recommendations on. So it's all, I mean, it's the whole issue continues to move along, and there, you know, we're making baby steps, strides in the right direction, but there's some significant steps that could be taken that would appease a number of the federations. I'm certain of that. That would definitely appease would appease Canada if they were to say, okay, those events are going to be reassigned. And maybe the pressure of this letter and the articles that are being now hitting the various news medium and the social media, maybe the Russian Biathlon Union will say, yeah, we'll give those up. You know, someone wants them, they can have them. That's what they did last year. But it could have been all circumvented by the International Federation saying, we're going to take these back and reassign them. So, but they didn't do that. So
one of the things, this will be my last question, but one of the things you could, and I, at the start of our interview, I was, you know, asking, you know, why the IBU would take such a stance. And I think your response, again, I'm paraphrasing, was something, you know, I don't know. And this is kind of like cultural relativism from my perspective. Like, you know, my idea and maybe your idea in Canada, now I'm here in the States, of what transparency is, you know, could be very different in a sporting culture, in a pure governmental political culture somewhere else. And is there some sort of discussion, or is there a little bit of like, this doesn't seem as transparent as I normally would think? You know, are there ever discussions like that? Or I suppose, you know, from someone who covers sport, you know, when it comes to the IOC, when it comes to the IBU, when it comes to FIS, oftentimes it's like, wow, there is a lot of just behind closed door meetings that in turn really do affect clean athletes, for better and for worse.
Well, I mean, the executive board, they have basically, they make the decisions on behalf of the national federations between the congresses. So they're making, so we've elected them to represent the interests of the sport, and there's an athlete commission. So there's a lot of information that they have, but they will make decisions. I mean, and the executive board is made up of a number of individuals from different national federations. But at the end of the day, if the federations have, and that's why we have the open letter. And my only regret is when I sent the letter that I didn't include the other national federations when I did it, because I think it would have, it may have changed the outcome. I'm not saying it would have, but it may have changed the outcome. And I'm hoping that we're not alone. And I know we're not alone, but you know, who knows what the other federations will do? I mean, the fact that there is a decision on the Olympics, that's important, but there's still this, you know, I hate to use the word, the black cloud hanging over the integrity of, you know, anti-doping in Russia. So, you know, regardless of who's doing it, there's still a lot of questions that remain unanswered. And whether or not those questions will ever be answered, but they've got, you know, we've got to rebuild that trust, and we have to, you know, rebuild the integrity of the sport. And one way to do it is ensure that, you know, you don't assign things to country into a country that's non-compliant. I mean, you know, that I mean, that's I mean, I'm a pretty simple, you know, simple principle, basic principles. I mean, that's a basic principle. You can control that as the National Federation. You know, it doesn't make any sense. That's what I find boggling. And I even question the fact that there'll be well, obviously looking at the Constitution and the provisional membership, the fact that you can put someone, as they did with the Russian biathlon, they're provisional, and yet they can still hold events, and in the one article in the Constitution says that they're supposed to abide by and promote the objectives of the organization, which is a doping-free sport. So how can you do that, you know?
Would you, in the future, like, and I would guess in the near future, move, you know, as a member federation to amend that so that a provisional?
We have a Congress coming. We have a Congress coming up in September, our next Congress, unless there's an extraordinary Congress before that, which I doubt. But there's a Congress in September of 2018, and one of the areas that Canada prides herself is we're pretty particular about wording and phraseology and articles within the Constitution. And it's one thing that I talked for our own Biathlon Canada board meeting last night. I said, I intend on putting together a proposed amendment to correct that so that we you know, it's because I mean, it's non-congruent. It just doesn't make any sense. How can you do that and still promote one of the main objectives of the organization? Doesn't make any sense. I pride ourselves as Canadians as being, that's what we want. We want clean sport. And, you know, if there's penalties you pay, you know, if you break the rules, you break the rules, and the rules have to be such that, you know, if you do break the rules, you're going to pay for breaking that rule. And there's been a lot of things that have happened. WADA has changed the suspension period timeline. So there's a lot of moving targets on it when, you know, but I mean, that's to be expected because you've got to keep ahead of it. And that's basically what we're trying to do. And that's all I've been trying to pressure the International Federation to do. You've got a means whereby and an opportunity where now that you can actually make a significant step forward in all this and satisfy the federations, and really broaden the comfort zone of the athletes. And that's the big thing. That's what we're all about. That's what we're here for. So anyway.
Well, thank you for your time.
Okay. Thanks, Jason. Much appreciated. Okay. Bye now.
Thanks for listening to Nordic Nation.